Oh, I didn't connect it yet. There's something. Screen. Okay. We continue with the Shabbos morning Kiddush. Okay, now we're getting into more of the technical laws. We're on point 20. This is the Shabbos day Kiddush. So it's preferable to use wine or grape juice for Kiddush. But if the Shabbos day, we can be more lenient if you prefer beer or whiskey to wine. I'm sure, ladies, you prefer beer or whiskey to wine. Many say you still have to be careful to use a cup as large as the cup that should be for wine, which is a revis, which would be a minimum of 3.2 ounces or preferably 4.42 ounces, which you'd have to have a cheekful of whiskey. So that would be a little bit hard for some people, well, not for guys usually. But while others are lenient, if you're using whiskey, since it's a very strong drink, then you can even just use a whiskey glass for that. So it'd be more optimal to use a larger glass for whiskey, but you could even use less. Okay, now those who rely on this leniency, you have to remember not to make the mistake of just always assuming you make a Bor Pri HaGafen at Kiddush, since beer or whiskey is not wine. You have to make the bracha, first of all, you have to make the bracha Shakol, and those who rely on this leniency to have a small amount of whiskey would still make a Borei Nefashos, even though a small amount was drunk. So that's talking about a Kiddush without eating bread afterwards. Because if you're eating bread afterwards, you'd bench. But if you're just making a Kiddush in shul, whatever, so you'd make a Borei Nefashos on that. Now, what if you don't have beer, wine, or whiskey? Now we can use what is called the Chamar Medina, the drink of the land. So some are lenient to use milk, orange juice, apple juice, soda, tea, coffee, rather than bread, if you don't have anything else. Okay, and as well, we said you make the bracha shahakol on that. Okay, good. Now, there's no requirement for anybody but the person who makes Kiddush to taste the wine in the day. As long as the listener intended to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush and heard every word of the blessings, he has fulfilled the mitzvah. However, it's always a nice thing to have a little bit of the Kiddush wine in the day. So, for that reason, there are people who make certain to drink some wine when attending a Kiddush, even in shul. Because remember, it's a koshel bracha. A koshel bracha that you make is a good thing to drink. So you have some people in shul who like to have a little bit of the grape juice as well. Now again, if you're at your Shabbos table, again, it's kosher bracha. But that will present less problems, as you'll see in a minute. If in the house, well, you're just hearing the person make the Borei Pri HaGafen, you want a little to drink wine, fine. You wash your hands, eat bread, and everything's taken care of. But if there are those in shul who like to have a little bit of wine from the Kiddush cup, it presents some halachic problems. Okay, you with me so far? Now, so, right, I don't know how other shuls work. We used to be for a certain, but there's always, sometimes a couple people will come and say, oh, I want to have some of the Kiddush wine. I say, fine, you could have some of the Kiddush wine. Problem is they're going to now continue to eat at the meal. And this presents a problem. What's the problem? Okay, when you, remember, if you make a Borei Pri HaGafen and wine, and then you want to have a drink of water, do you have to make a bracha on the water afterwards? Remember the rules from about a year ago? You made a bracha on Borei Pri HaGafen. Borei Pri HaGafen. Okay, now is some soda. Do you make the bracha shahakol? The answer is no. Because once you make a Borei Pri HaGafen on wine, it covers all drinks. So if you're making a Borei Pri HaGafen on wine, now you're going to drink something else, that's shahakol, it gets covered. Just like bread covers other foods, so wine covers other drinks. So on the one hand, so when the person making Kiddush, who's drinking at least a cheekful, has made Kiddush, now if he, or if let's say you're in a shul, and some shuls they have a lot of grape juice out, so people can make their own Kiddush, whatever. Now you're going to have something else to drink. You do not make a shahakol. That's the rule. problem is, you have to drink a substantial amount of wine for it to discharge a future bracha on other shahakol drinks. Okay? So if you, now the problem's like this, if you're going to now hear Kiddush from someone else, and you're going to just take a little bit of wine, now you could be putting yourself in a questionable situation if you're going to have to make a bracha of shahakol on the drink, because there's many opinions who say if you only, when you're getting from the Kiddush cup, you're not getting a lot. You're usually getting like a little bit, which is fine for a little bit, but you've listened to someone make the Kiddush, that's fine. You heard the bracha, that's fine. But now maybe you'll have to make another bracha on any shahakol food you may drink, a shahakol drink you may drink afterwards. Therefore, I've written the following. Therefore, that those who listen to some of those kiddush and partake of the wine and then want to drink another beverage must do one of the following. Either drink at least a cheekful, so now you've had enough drinking that's considered a real drinking, and that will exempt any other drinking. So, clear. If you're hearing the Kiddush being made, you're hearing the Bar Priya Goffin, you have in mind that that blessing is discharging yours, you're having a cheekful of wine, then you're okay. You don't make any other brachas on drinks only. What if you didn't? What if you only had a little bit of wine? So now it's very questionable if that will exempt you on other shahakol drinks. So now we try to find a way to get out of the issue. So a simple way is, make a shahakol on a food item. Piece of candy, whatever, or whatever food item is shahakol. Once you've made a shahakol, that works for everything. Remember, the Bar Priya Goffin on wine can only help if you not make a shahakol on a drink, but can't exempt you from a shahakol for, let's say, a piece of fish. Can't be exempted from the Bar Priya Goffin on the wine. So if I only drank a little bit, then have a piece of fish, make a shahakol, and then have in mind any other drinks you're going to drink, and you won't have to make a bracha. That's how you get out of the problem. Or listen to someone else make a shahakol on a drink, and then you don't have to make a bracha. But that's only if you drank a small amount of wine. If you don't drink any wine, then as I've said before, if you don't drink, if you just hear the rabbi making shahakol, making Bar Priya Goffin, you then make all brachas you have to make at the Kiddush that you normally have to make. Well, is that clear? Or have I got confused?
What happens if you have the water first and then you're just having wine for when you eat supper, you want, and the host serves
the Okay, in other words, the order of the meal is they're giving water on the table, you're drinking water, and then in the middle of the meal, there's wine.
You decide you need to have wine.
Then you, if that's the order of how it's done, in other words, the gastronomical order of how you intake the meal. That it's the idea is you drink water first, so then you make a shahakol on the water, and then you make a Bar Priya Goffin on the wine. If it doesn't matter to you, if it really doesn't matter, then it would be better to make a Bar Priya Goffin on the wine and not need to make a shahakol on the water. But it depends how particular the order is. Okay, another next rule. One who recited Kiddush may recite it again to exempt others. So if a husband made Kiddush in shul, he can make Kiddush at home as well for others. And all other requirements that were mentioned regarding the Friday night Kiddush in terms of size of cup, how much to drink, covering the chalas, etc., apply to the Shabbos morning Kiddush. Good. Now comes the next important rule, which is Kiddush b'makom seuda. That's a very important rule. Which means you make the Kiddush in the place where you have your meal and vice versa. So Friday night, we don't discuss the issue. Why? Because it's not an issue. Because every Friday night, you're at the table, you're going to have a meal, you're making Kiddush at the table that you're eating, so it's obviously being done. So there's not a lot of talk about that because it's very rare that a person's going to have Kiddush without a meal. Shabbos day, though, is a lot different because there are situations like in shul where you're at a kiddush and then there's got to be a seuda at that kiddush for that kiddush to work. Again, when you're home Shabbos day, it's not a problem because you're sitting down to a meal, you're making kiddush, the meal's there. The problem is when you're in a kiddush in shul, then the kiddush that you hear is only going to be valid under the following circumstances. Number one, the Kiddush must be recited where the meal is to be eaten. And number two, the meal must be eaten immediately after the Kiddush. Let me explain what that means. So again, every shul has different logistics. Okay, let's just talk about our shul. Okay, I make Kiddush in the shul, right? The people are in the shul. So they've heard the Kiddush in the shul. The food is served in the shul. So then people are eating the Kiddush right away. I mean, it doesn't have to be that minute. If you're 10 minutes in line, that's still considered immediately. Immediately means, you know, as soon as one can. It doesn't mean you heard the Kiddush, the next minute you're eating. It could be 3, 4, 5 minutes later. As opposed to you heard the Kiddush, you decide to go walk down the hallway and schmooze for half an hour and come back. Well, then that wouldn't work. So you have to have, so in the shul, that works. I don't know if people ever noticed when we were in the school, some unusual behaviors we had. You may not have known why we did that. If you recall, when we davened in the gym, for those of you who can remember those days, right? So if you recall, there was a glass wall between the gym and the atrium. So when we were davening, we closed the shades to the glass because we didn't want to be disturbed. You know, if you're davening, everyone's facing the glass. You see kids running around. That would be great disturbance during davening. So we closed the shades. And during the drush, the shades were closed. I don't know if you noticed, as soon as the drush was over, and we made Kiddush, on that moment, the drapes were raised. Why are they busy raising the drapes? The answer is because otherwise we would have had a problem. We made Kiddush. I made Kiddush in the cafeteria because we didn't want to have to have people go into the atrium and then wait till everybody calmed down and quiet down and then shh and this and that. So when I finished the drush, it was quiet. I made the Kiddush. Problem is, Kiddush was in the different room of where we're eating in the atrium. That would have been a problem. But if you raise the shades and you could see from one room to the other, then that would be considered Kiddush in the same place you're eating. So that, I'm sure none of you were ever thought about that. Maybe that's why we had to raise the shades so you could see into the other room. You generally don't make Kiddush in one room and eat in another room. So therefore, you want to kind of make sure about that. But that only gets you out of part of the issue. The next issue is what you eat. So point number two. Generally, Kiddush is recited at the table where the meal is eaten. However, if one wishes to make Kiddush in one part of the room and eat in another part of the room, he may do so, provided he has in mind at the time of the Kiddush. Let's say from one end of the room to another, that's fine. Now, one should eat immediately or as soon as possible after the Kiddush. However, a minor delay to allow for getting ready for the meal is not considered an interruption. Now, for the Kiddush to be valid, besides the laws of the Kiddush cup and all that, it's necessary for both the person who recites the Kiddush and the one who listens to it to consume at least a halachic measure of an olive of bread, cake, crackers, or other food made from the five species of grain, namely wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. Okay, in other words, we have to eat what's considered halachically a meal. You have to have a meal at the Kiddush for the Kiddush to be a Kiddush that's valid. So what's considered the bare minimum meal is a kezias of mizonos. So that it could have that, or I didn't put it down, or it could really, anything that would require the after blessing of Me'ein Shalosh, of Borei, of Al HaMichya, or Al HaEitz, or Al HaGefen. Have that special after blessing, not Borei Nefashos. So I gave the simplest example. So now you have to eat some type of mizonos that requires an Al HaMichya. Okay, so let's say mizonos kugel is also a mizonos. Let's say a lakshin kugel would be a mizonos. You have to eat a kezias of that. If you, that we'll see that in a minute. So then that has to be eaten within a certain period of time, the time of Kedei Achilas Pras, which is between 2 and 9 minutes. You have to eat that mizonos. So where does that come into practicality? Here's where you get the interesting law. Even when one partakes of large quantities of other foods or beverages, if he does not eat a halachic measure of one of the five grains, the Kiddush is not valid. So let's say you hear a Kiddush. and you're all on diets, as we're all on diets, and we don't have carbs. So that's not going to work. So now you're in lying there, and you're having fish, whatever, four or five different types of fishes you're sampling, and you're having some fruits from the fruit plate, and let's say there was even cold cuts, and you're having cold cuts, and you're really having a great meal, and you have a full meal, but you didn't have any bread, you didn't have any crackers, you didn't have any Lakshinkugel. So now what's going to be the after blessing on all that food you ate? Borei nefashos. So you have not had a halachic meal at that kiddush. So the kiddush did not work. And many suggest you shouldn't start eating if you don't plan on having a meal at the kiddush. So what would mean? You'd have to make another kiddush at home because you really didn't have a successful kiddush. Okay? So therefore, what you need to do is make sure you have at least something that's a mazonos. So that's why, again, I don't know what other shuls do, but in our shul, there's always, if there's cake for dessert, so just have a piece of cake. That will take care of that. We don't always have cake. We always have crackers. And you have to eat about five, depending on the size, about five or six crackers. You have to eat some crackers. So you got to have some mazonos, or else the kiddush won't be valid. That's why we always have an abundance of crackers. So you can be yotzei that mitzvah. So that's if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of having the meal at the kiddush. Doesn't preclude you from going home, we'll discuss a minute, and have your regular meal. But if you want to eat in the shul kiddush, you should make sure to have some mazonos at the kiddush. Okay, it doesn't always work in every shul, because some shuls have a lot of birds of prey who, if you wait too long, there ain't nothing to eat. It could be, it's a very big shul. So, and by the time, some people are just lunging for the food, and by the time the vultures are gone, and now you've walked 10 minutes, there's no food on the, or no mazonos on the thing. So again, I don't know what other shuls are doing, I only know what our shul does. So now brings us to the next point. There are opinions which maintain that even initially one may eat fruit or shakalos after kiddush is recited if there are no mizonos items available. There are lenient opinions, but then kiddush must be repeated at home before the meal. Okay. Other opinions allow this practice only under special circumstances, such as the case of a person who is weak and needs to eat and has no mizonos available. Okay, therefore, let's kind of review the main points over here. So when attending a kiddush reception in shul, one should bear in mind the following. You must hear the kiddush as it is recited. Remember we said last week, you don't have to hear the whole kiddush, as long as you heard what? Just borei priya gaven, right? You must at least hear the entire blessing of the wine. Make the, you have for yourself, again, people are just not careful. Make the appropriate blessings before and after you eat your food. Right, the rabbi's kiddush only discharges your obligation of making kiddush and the blessing for wine. Any food or drinks that you partake of require the appropriate blessings for them on your own. Eat a complete halachic measure of cake or other grain product within the correct time span. Do not eat at the kiddush if you do not plan on eating the appropriate halachic measure. But now you got a problem on the flip side. Well, the rabbi said I have to make sure to have mazonos. I'm going to really be careful. I'm going to have six pieces of cake. And now, for sure, I had enough cake together with the cholent and the cold cuts and the fish and all that. But you haven't had any bread. Well, here's the next problem. Do not overindulge in what one eats. In certain cases, one would actually be required to wash, say the motzi, and recite birchas hamazon, even if he did not actually eat bread. If you remember, we learned the laws of eating pasa bobekis, when you eat breads that are like cakey-like, if you eat a significant amount of them together with a lot of other food, and you are genuinely full, then before you started, you should have washed your hands, made a motzi on the crackers, and benched on the entire meal. I don't think ladies have this problem, but men have this problem. And you figure, it's like sometimes you have like a full kiddush. So, like, when the shul really has that kind of kiddush, I always make sure we have rolls that people at least can do what's halachically preferable. So you have to be careful. If you eat too much, then you're erring on the other side. Next point is one should preferably eat and drink while sitting down. Again, I don't understand where this custom came to stand at a kiddush. I guess it came because in many shuls, the kiddush was in an area where there weren't any chairs. And if you had a lot of people, you can't have chairs. Okay, again, there's different halachas of Jewish etiquette. You know, eating like a mensch. So I don't think ever at a Friday night dinner you stand while you eat. In your house. I don't think you do that. Right? Somehow, I don't know, it must come from the goyish dinner party scene or whatever, where, you know, people just stand and eat. It's not an aveira, but you're compromising on your selam elokim. Let's put it this way. If you appreciate who and what you are, the only beings that eat while standing are animals. Cows, dogs, cats, they eat while they're standing, right? Person shouldn't eat while they're standing. They should sit down when they're eating, right? Is it an aveira? It's just a question of self-respect. You're a human being, you sit down, you know, make a bracha sitting down, you eat, and you don't, like, walk around. I mean, there's a lot of spirituality to eating that, even if we're not aware of it, you know, we just don't do those kinds of things. So really, the optimal thing is, now, of course, you understand what the trade-off is. You can't be the butterfly of socializing if you're sitting down. Part of the kiddush, I understand, is to socialize. I'm not taking away from the socializing. So if you're sitting on a chair, you can only socialize with 1, 2, 3 people, and that's it. When you're standing with your plate in your hand, you can roll mosey around and talk to a lot of people. Anyway, that's why I've made it a point that we have tables and chairs, and I try to politely tell people, oh, you don't have to carry the plate. You know, you could stand. It's a lot easier for you. I try to say it that way. But it is a more... Now, so you could try, maybe just take the food, sit down, eat your food for 5 minutes and be a mensch, and then you can walk around and stand around. But I'm just saying, the optimal way to do this is you should be sitting down when you eat and drink. Again, if you're in a place where you can't, you can't. You know, like I understand, you make a vort in the house. You know, you can't have 150 chairs in the house, which is not suited for that many people. People are standing. I'm not going to comment on it. But certainly on Shabbos, one should try. And if you want to be particular, you go and bring a chair in. Again, you have to do with what's reasonable. Anyway, fine. So if you eat the required amount of food at the kiddush, you have fulfilled your morning kiddush obligation. Therefore, you're not required to repeat kiddush at home before eating lunch. You don't have to. There is a strict opinion that says you should. So those who wish to be stringent should recite kiddush again before lunch. One who made kiddush on whiskey should repeat kiddush at home over wine or grape juice when you're sitting at home. Okay, now, again, another halacha that some are not aware of. So let's say there's this amazing kiddush and shul, like this week. You're going to have Indian food, right? So everyone's going to want to eat it and this and that. So you're still required, after the kiddush in shul, which you did not wash on, you still have to go home and make kiddush and eat a meal with bread and benching and the whole 9 yards. Okay? So therefore, you know, if you've just ate a big kiddush, oh, I'm just going to go home and go to sleep. You know, can't do that. You got to go home and at least wash and have a meal. Again, so Eza Chacham Arosa Nolad, a smart person will realize if you eat too much at the kiddush, you can't eat too much at home. Or, again, that's why, again, we offer bread. So if you want, you could wash, eat, have your meal in the shul, and that's your suda. Oh, you could do that. So, you know, I did that. I've done that for a number of weeks and prayer bread. And nobody wanted to eat the bread, so just to throw it out, it's not an idea either. But you should realize these are the issues that are at hand. And therefore, do not become satiated at the kiddush, so that you'll retain an appetite for the meal. So even though there's these big kiddushes, you have to remember, the optimal thing is to have a proper, large lunch in the house. As we said, the Shabbos meal day is more substantial than the Friday night meal. So if you're having such a big meal, you shouldn't be overindulging at the kiddush. So just have to pace yourself accordingly. Now, this becomes an issue. Where is this a real interesting issue? Pesach. If there's a Kiddush in Shul on Pesach, you can run into serious problems. What's the serious problem of having it? I don't know how many shuls make Kiddush on Pesach in Shul. It's way too expensive, right? But we used to, years ago when I was at Tashkamin in the Bayit, we had. So what is the major problem with having a Kiddush in Shul on Pesach, besides the cost? What? There's almost no mezonos anymore. In the good old days, you know, the mandel cuts were made out of matzah meal, which had a bracha mezonos. Now, good luck trying to find a mezonos cookie nowadays. It's all now from walnut meal, potato starch, everything but wheat. So we once had this problem. I remember this was way more than 20 years ago. So we finished the minyan, and the guys are putting out the food, and we're looking. There's not one mezonos food over here. So what? How do one make kiddush? So the only way out of it was a bidyeved, but there is, if you drink, there's another way that kiddush is in the place of a seuda, if you have 8 ounces of grape juice. Grape juice requires an al hagefen after blessing. So if you drink one cup of kiddush for kiddush and then another one for the meal, so technically if you have 8 ounces of grape juice, then you've already been yotzei kiddush b'makom suda. So if you want to avoid the carbs, I know you're all calorie conscious, so you figure, well, 6 tam tam crackers, that's going to be a lot of calories, right? So, but if you get the grape juice, that's diluted grape juice, what do they call it? There's a fancy name for it. Light. Charge it twice as much, just put water into it. But anyway, if you have 8 ounces of that, which might not be more than 100 calories, then that could be your kiddush b'makom suda, because you're going to make an al hagefen on that. Or if there's other fruits of the 7 species, dates, figs, pomegranates, and you have a size of that, that would work as well. So that are other options to have a kiddush b'makom suda. So sometimes if just by having grape juice, then you could have your kiddush b'makom suda. Okay, that finishes the kiddush of Shabbos morning. Well, let's see if I've missed anything. I thought I figured everything, but could be I missed.
You know, are we meant to not speak between hearing kiddush and shul and then getting the cracker?
No, let's put it this way. If, again, it depends on how many people are the shul. There's a lot of factors. Optimally, as soon as you're the kiddush, you should eat. That's optimally. But even in your house, you're not necessarily, if you make kiddush house, you're not necessarily eating right. You should try it as much as possible, only when it's not possible. How is it not possible? Well, there's 150 people in front of you in front of the food. Well, then it's not going to be possible. You don't want to push and shove. So you want to talk for a few minutes till it clears out. So that's fine. Again, depending on what kind of, how small the shul is. You have a small shul, there's only 20 people in shul, and they could be sitting at a table, and there could be food in front of them. But if you're talking the bayit, I mean, I haven't been at a bayit kiddush since Mayor Zalman's bar mitzvah. So I remember what it was then. It's like chaos. No criticism. It's like 500 people. Like, what can you do? So, okay. So then you, if it's possible, for example, for you to, as you're going into the kiddush, just to pick up a piece of cake and put it on a plate before it gets really crowded and you can find a place to sit right, then you could eat right away. So it's optimal to eat right away. If you don't, you don't. I mean, you could talk, but the idea is you're planning on getting to the food as opposed to leaving the room and you come back a half hour later or whatever. As long as you're really planning on eating as soon as you can. So I know, like in our shul, you thank God we have people who really are very big mentions and they line up. Believe it or not, most people line up. And if you're at the end of the line, it's going to be 15 minutes till you get to the food. But that's fine because there's no faster way to be able to do it.
And Rabbi, one other question. So is it preferable to make kiddush before kiddush for lunch, or it's only really because people haven't eaten breakfast and then they may be hungry, so they make that kiddush before they have lunch. What is the obligation?
The obligation is you shouldn't cause yourself pain. For karasa l'shabbos onik, Shabbos will be a delight. So if you have to wait till 12:30 for your husband to go home for shul and you're hungry, that's not a good thing to do. You know, especially, I don't know about women, but men, when they're hungry, is not a good state. That I know for sure. Women might be a little bit more stable. But, you know, a man who's hungry, you know, that's the worst thing for shalom bias. So it depends on the person. Like, you could be a person, you're used to eating breakfast every day, which is normal, and on Shabbos you'd like to have breakfast. That's nothing wrong with that. Especially if you're a woman that doesn't have the same intense obligation of praying like a man has. So if you're waiting for your husband to come home is causing affliction to you, you certainly should not do that. That's not meritorious if you're feeling afflicted. Other people have different constitutions. People can fast a half day, it doesn't bother them at all. So if you're the kind of person that you really like to have something to eat before 12 o'clock, so make your own kiddush, and that is just as optimal as waiting. But when you're going to have that kiddush, it should be, quote-unquote, a meal. So when you're having that meal, it could be a Mizonos cereal. You like to have cereal for breakfast. Okay, fine. So, okay, maybe a nicer cereal. Shabbos, you know, it's not Stam. You know, get a more expensive box, you know, fancier, whatever. So you make a Mizonos on that, and then you make a Bar Pirigo, make a Mizonos, you eat. So then, and 2 hours, 3 hours later, when it's lunch, that's fine. So you will not have fulfilled the obligation of the Su'udah, the second Su'udah, until you have the second Su'udah, 12 o'clock, and you wash and all those things. Now, if you want, you know, or if you want, you know, like you want to go Israeli style, where they many daven like at 7 o'clock on Shabbos, and they come home at 9:15, and they have the whole Suda at 9:15. You could do that too. So they're not meant to afflict pain in observing the mitzvahs. That's the main point. So to each their own, as long as the Father Allah. Yeah.
If you just hear kiddush with not drinking and eating,
then that's a zero.
So that's a zero. Hearing kiddush.
You could hear it. You could say Amen. It's very nice to say Amen to a bracha, but you've gotten zero in terms of you have to hear kiddush. So again, so it depends what you're planning on doing. So just to be in the show, let me just hear the rabbi say kiddush, so when I come home, I don't have to hear kiddush. That's completely incorrect. If you wanna, again, making kiddush isn't hard. It's just bar priya guffin. But if you are gonna hear kiddush, you're gonna want to eat. You should eat at least the minimum requirement of Mizonos that's required. Right? But if you're just hearing a kiddush and you're not eating anything, you haven't fulfilled the kiddush at all.
So if you plan on leaving to go,
I'm sorry?
If I very seldomly stay. So if I plan on leaving, it's best that I don't hear you say kiddush.
You could hear the kiddush. It's not best. It's best to hear the kiddush. You know why? Because you could say amen to a bracha, which is a big mitzvah. You know, what I've done the last few years at the end of davening, at the end of Shabbos, you know, and after davening's over, so we don't keep a captive audience Saturday night, I make havdalah for those who stay. And then we sing Hamavdil in Kodesh. And then I make the bracha achrona that I have to make on the wine out loud so 10 people could say amen. Not that I'm discharging their obligation, but you want to start the week that somebody makes a bracha and everybody says amen. So you'd like to stay for the kiddush just so that you get... Remember, the Talmud says, he who says amen gets rewarded greater than the one who makes the bracha. So you already came to shul. Look at all the mitzvahs you did. You walked to shul as a mitzvah. You davened as a mitzvah. You learned Torah as a mitzvah. You probably said a good word to somebody as a mitzvah. So now for another 30 seconds, because we make the kiddush immediately after the drush, so just stay here and say in your mind, I want to say amen to the bracha, to do amen, and I do not want the rabbi. In your mind, I don't plan on being yotze with the kiddush. But if you're in a rush, okay, you're in a rush. But if you're, you know, it's to stay another 30 seconds, say amen for a bracha, is a bar. You'd be surprised how that'll help you on the day of reckoning, you know, when all of a sudden you see thousands of malachim coming with all these, just this one amen you said 1,000 times. It's a bargain. So you like to do that, but you just don't have a mind to fulfill the obligation. Yeah, there was another one or two questions. Yeah?
Yeah. So last week, I think if I understood the Rav, one couldn't have like a yogurt and a banana before davening on a Shabbos morning because that would constitute a meal, and so that would require...
Wait. No? Let's digest this again.
Sorry.
You can't have a yogurt or banana before you do some kind of davening. For a woman now, who are you talking about? For yourself?
For anyone.
Let's not make it theoretical. Let's make it practical. Theoretical is wonderful.
For a woman, yeah.
Let's say a woman wants to have a banana and yogurt.
Before she davens.
Okay, so that's already, I call that a meal. I would say banana and yogurt is pretty much a meal, right? So you should daven first. What do you normally do? Do you normally daven first? Again, we're not talking about a woman with little kids, or, you know, there's a lot of, it's very complex. You have to know who and what we're talking about. Some women, their lifestyle, we'll say, requires them to get to say a very brief prayer. Remember, we've already said you could be yotzei your tefillah just by saying the initial brachas, and that's your tefillah. Mm-hmm. Some women, that's all they daven, you know. And when you're young with lots of kids, that might be all you can daven. That's your tefillah. You say page 16, 18 in the article. It takes you 4 or 5 minutes, and that's your tefillah. So then, do that first. Then after you do that 5 minutes, fill it, then make kiddush, and then have the yogurt and the banana. All right? If you normally daven a whole davening, you daven for a half an hour, then you should daven a half an hour before you eat. Unless you're not physically capable of davening without eating. So again, I have to know what the circumstances. There's too many variables for me to give you a simple answer. A 90-year-old man who's getting up Shabbos morning could certainly have a banana and yogurt before he davens because he ain't got the koyach to daven if he doesn't eat. So again, you have to know the constitution of the person, and then we can answer the question.
So
the kiddush obligation comes when the person on Shabbos morning is halachically permitted to eat. Right? So if you're not halachically permitted to eat before davening, right, then you shouldn't be making kiddush, shouldn't be eating. If you're halachically permitted to eat before davening, then you'd have to make kiddush before davening.
So now comes my question. So if you are halachically permitted to eat before davening,
okay,
and you want to just have a yogurt and a banana, now I think I'm understanding that you can't make kiddush and just have a yogurt and a banana because
you don't have mizonos. Exactly. So that's where you say, how much more do I got to eat? So again, so what are the options? The options are get some dates and figs if you want.
You gotta check.
Dates or figs. Dates or figs or grapes. Mm-hmm. Shivas minim. Grapes, fig. Okay, you know, grapes is a pretty easy one to find, right? So basically, you take a little small cluster of grapes, you know, like eight grapes, whatever.
How many dates do you have to have in order to be?
I don't know exactly.
Eight to ten. Crackers, so I'm wondering.
There's a whole book on the size, exactly, depending how big the grape is. I don't know. 10 grapes for sure would for sure be more than enough, and that's not an excessive amount of grapes to eat, right? But you have to have something of mizonos, or you would drink 8 ounces of grape juice to make an aleph gefen out of that. But you have to have some kind of a meal. Exactly. So I don't know what the problem is. There's a lot of mizonos foods that are okay. I know it's not, you're not used to that. But I'd say grapes would be an ideal. That's for sure healthy. No one's going to say grapes aren't healthy. Maybe someone does. I don't know. What? Okay, good. Shelley, did you have a question? No? Okay. Okay, we're done with this? Good.
Thank you.
Next topic is Shalashudas. Where is it? Hello. Okay. Okay. Now the fun begins. Okay. You got that? I think I sent that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that the Kiddush day I did have so much to do still. Okay. There is an obligation, a biblical obligation for a Jew to eat 3 meals on Shabbos. three meals on Shabbos. When the manna was first given to Jewish people, the Torah uses the word hayom, today, three times. It says, eat the manna today, and it goes again, for today is Hashem Shabbos. It says, anything you find in the field, you won't find anything in the field today. It says today three times. The rabbis learned from that today means three meals. You have to have three halachic meals on Shabbos. So it works out pretty good. Friday night is one. Shabbos day morning is two. Afternoon, Shal Shudas is three. That works out really great. But you got to have three. What's the point? Well, let's say for whatever reason, Friday night you weren't feeling well. You were at the tail end of a stomach flu. And you really couldn't eat. You really weren't feeling well, and you just went to bed, and that's it. It's okay. You were well. You don't have to kill yourself to have a meal if you're really not well. You wake up Shabbos morning, you feel great. Now, the question is, how many meals do you got to eat Shabbos? Three. Well, I missed Friday night, so let's just forget about that. No, you can't forget about it. You have to have three halachic meals. So therefore, if you miss Friday night, you got to still eat three. Now, they don't have to be huge. Okay, but you got to... So there would you, I guess right away Shabbos morning have one, then Shabbos lunch have two, and Shabbos dinner three. But that's critical. You have to have three meals. So it happens once in a while. I think it happened once in my life. I really wasn't feeling well Friday night. I just went to bed. So I had to eat. Now, if you're still sick the next day, you don't have to eat three meals. Let's say you're sick the whole Shabbos. You're sick the whole Shabbos. You're out of the gate. But if for whatever reason, Friday night you weren't well, but you're okay Shabbos, then you have to have three meals. What are the benefits of Shabbos? The person who eats the three meals on Shabbos, the Gemara says, is saved from three calamities. The pains of the Ikvas of the Meshicha, the pains, the labor pains, so to speak, of what comes before Mashiach, which is terrible suffering in general. The suffering of Gehenna, and the war of Gog and Magog, which is also toward the end of time, which will be very terrible times. So one who eats Shalosh Shudas is spared from that. So that's a good reason to want to have three meals, besides everything else over there. Also, the Kabbalistic literature goes bananas over here, by Shalosh Shudas over here. In Kabbalistic literature, the time of the third meal is referred to in the Aramaic term as Ra'ava de Ra'avim, which means the time of favors, meaning it's the most auspicious time in the entire week that you live is this time of Shalosh Shudas, the end of Shabbos, where Hashem is most kindly disposed to the Jewish people, and He most sympathetically receives our desires to grow spiritually. The reason for that is quite interesting. If you think about it, okay, God created the world, what we call, on a Sunday, right? 6 days of creation. But it really wasn't Sunday. When did He create the world, really? It's begin, very beginning, the first second. Bereshis. What? Saturday night. How do I know that? Because it says, Vayhi Erev Vayivoker. It was night, it was day. You'd think this would be obvious. It's interesting, when I was last on vacation, we had to find some kosher wine on an island. And Baruch Hashem, you could find kosher wine everywhere in the world. Like moms. Used to be, when we went on trips, I always brought a little bottle of wine. I don't do it anymore. No matter where you go, there's no such thing as not kosher wine. You can be on an island in the Bahamas, and a full stack of Manischewitz Concord Sacramental wine you will find there. So it's unbelievable. You know why? Because in these places, they're very religious. They go to church, and they drink it at church. It's sacramental wine. So they think it's really holy. So it's like it's unbelievable. You're in the middle of nowhere, and there's like 50 bottles of Manischewitz wine. So as I'm going to pay, so the checkout lady, when they always got like their boyfriends over there. Says, oh, this is great. I don't know. So, I should learn to keep my mouth shut when I go to these places. Whatever you say, they engage you. Like, oh, this is great. We could make it for our blessing for Friday night. You know, I said, how come you have kosher wine? There's no. So I said, okay, well, that's great. It's great for my Friday night when we bring in the Sabbath. So the guy says, your Sabbath should be Saturday in the day. You know, just like they have Sunday, Sunday day. He says, what do you do it Friday for? So I made the biggest mistake in the world. I answered him. I said, well, I mean, these are Bible people. It's not like I'm not talking to an atheist, you know. So, well, like creation says, before it was evening, it was day, one day. So that's why it starts there before. Well, that doesn't sit well by them. I almost got killed. Anyway, but that's the point over here, is that really the creation, per se, the way we would look at it, was Saturday night. Was Saturday night. When the stars came out. But even though there were no stars yet. But it was, you know what I'm saying? So the first moment of creation was a Saturday night. Now, when was God's desire to create the world?
Before.
Had to be before Saturday night. When would that be? Quote unquote, late Saturday afternoon. Because the desire was right before the creation. So it comes out that God desired. And now, why do you want to create the world? To bestow pleasure to man. So then, when did that initial desire, from our perspective, well, you can't say these words intelligently because you're talking about God before time, but in our way of trying to understand things, is, well, God decided to give us all this pleasure, this world that he's going to create in 7 days, was all predisposed, quote unquote, at the end of Saturday afternoon. So that always repeats. Every week, God, you know, creates 6 days of reality. Shabbos makes it that now we have energy for the next 6 days. So now when we end the Shabbos, that is the most auspicious time, because Hashem says now we're putting the final touches on all the energy for the coming week. So all the blessings and everything that's really coming from you, as we've already said before, it comes from the entire Shabbos, but now we're coming to the point where we're about to release all that energy to create the next week. So what's the most auspicious time? It's right at the end of Shabbos. That's where the end of Shabbos is the most important time. And therefore, at this time, and that's why, as I've said before, the more important a time is, the Yetzer Hara gives us reasons not to spend a lot of time and effort on it. So at this time, one's prayers for sustenance will surely be answered. Furthermore, during Shal Shiras, a person's behavior in the upcoming week is determined, so it's an opportune time to pray for humility and submissiveness. Okay, the rabbis tell us, in Pirkei Avos, it says, better 1 hour of the spiritual world. It says, you have better one moment of spirituality in the next world than all the pleasure of this world. But then it says another statement, better 1 hour of tshuva and maisim tovim and good deeds, better 1 hour in this world of tshuva, maisim tovim, than all the pleasures of the world to come. Than all the pleasures of the world to come. Why? Because 1 hour of tshuva, maisim, when you're in the next world, you can't do any mitzvahs. You're retired. So all you can do is benefit from all the investments you made during your lifetime, which are many. But you can't earn any more world to come. Whatever you got coming in, that's what you got for the rest of eternity. So every moment, every hour of tshuva, maisim tovim in this world is better because you're able to accomplish so much. So it's interesting. The rabbis say 1 hour of tshuva, maisim tovim is better than all the world to come. So the rabbis say, what's that hour? When is that hour? They say that's the hour of Shalosh Shudas. The hour of Shalosh Shudas, that time is better than the entire world to come. The mystics tell us that the tzaddikim sit in Gan Eden, they're wearing their crowns from all the mitzvahs that they performed, etc., etc. So that's it is the most, as we say, the Shabbos keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up, right? Not after lunch, goes down and down and down and sleeping. It's going up and up and up and up and up and up and up. So the sages tell us that Shal Shudas is a most suitable time for doing tshuva. It's a time when a person's soul is attached to Hashem. in this waning hour of Shabbos an opportune moment to reflect on the holy day. And Shalosh Shudos, as the Pious Etzner Rebbe says, is like the weekly Yom Kippur. Just as on Yom Kippur, the soul is aroused and cleansed from its failings during the year, so Shalosh Shudos, the soul's hidden lusts of the entire week, as it were, are laid open, and the individual can be cleansed and purified from all that. So it's a tremendous amount of doing tshuva. Okay, now, that's for everybody. That's like, it's nothing to discuss. This is the way it is, you know. So now, the Hasidim conduct Shalosh Shudos in the dark. Now, why do they do Shalosh Shudos in the dark? Well, you could have said for practical reasons. They ran out of candlelight. Remember, there's no electricity, so how big could the candles be? So they last at night to the day, but by the afternoon they're out. But no, more than that, they really want it in the dark for all kinds of reasons. You know, sometimes, you know, people just, you know, lost souls come into the shul, and, you know, in the dark it's more discreet. Mystically, we're said that, you know, the souls from the higher worlds come down and listen to the Torah insights at the Shalosh Shudos. But the most simple and practical reason is, just like when you say the Shema, you cover up your eyes. Why do you cover up your eyes? So you're not distracted by other things, other stimuli that could divert your thoughts of wanting to cling to Hashem when you say the Shema. So since Shalosh Shudos is an expanded period of time of clinging to Hashem, and when the lights are on and there's a lot of people, there's a lot of distractions, so the lights go out and there's no distractions. It's just dark. And that's how you can focus more on the opportunity that Shalosh Shudos presents. Now, here is an interesting law, again, that some are not aware, that women are obligated in Shalosh Shudos. Period. No argument. No discussion on that. One of my favorite trivia questions, right? What is a woman more obligated to do? Hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah or eat Shalosh Shudos? The answer is eat Shalosh Shudos. The Torah says that women are obliged in all the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos, just like they're obliged in the negative transgressions not to do. And the Torah says you have to have three meals on Shabbos, and this is the third meal, and they're just as obligated in that. Just as the men are obligated, the women are as well obligated on that, and based on all the blessings that come from the three meals. So there's no reason why they shouldn't have it at all. You know, so that's, it's totally a misnomer that a woman doesn't have to eat Shalosh Shudos. She should eat Shalosh Shudos, as everybody else should be eating Shalosh Shudos. She doesn't have to go to shul and have Shalosh Shudos with them in shul, although they could, but you have to eat Shalosh Shudos. And what does that entail? Just one more minute. If one is, now really you should have a meal, but if one is full in the winter, one should eat at least a kebaya of bread, an egg's full of beya, or at least a kezias, and there's the grams, 30 to 50 grams, or 15 to 25 grams. If you have these little round dietetic pitas that you can get in your store over there, which has 28 grams, if I'm not mistaken, and only 50 calories, okay? So I know you're calorie conscious, and it's a healthier bread. So eat that, and you've had Shalosh Shudos, and you've washed and you've veged. You might want to have a little more, but you should have bread. This obligation applies even if one is not hungry. But if one cannot eat at all, then one is not obligated to pain oneself, as this would violate Onik Shabbos. Nevertheless, a wise person will see ahead and leave room for Shalosh Shudos. Okay? And of course, you know, you have to make an extra effort, because this is the meal that proves everything. What do I mean? We'll just end with this. We know that this meal is in Israel, the more modern Israelis, they word it a little different. So some people think it's called Suda Shlishit, which is a misnomer. Suda Shlishit in Hebrew means the third meal. If you think that's what it is, the third meal. But if you look in the Talmudic wording of it, it's called Shalosh Sudot, which literally means three meals, which is a very weird term. I'm going to eat three meals now. right? Friday night meal is I'm having Suda Shabbos. But it's called, again, the word is actually called Shalosh Sudos. We made slang, didn't call it Shalosh Sudos. Shalosh Sudos is just a slang of the word Shalosh Sudos. There's no such word as Shalosh. There's no such word. Shalosh Sudos. It's Shalosh Sudot. So that means this meal is three meals. How's this three meals? Well, the answer is simple. Friday night, it's hard for us to know if you're eating for the sake of heaven or eating because you're hungry. Shabbos day, it's also hard to know why you're eating. But certainly in the winter, when you've finished eating lunch at 3 o'clock and you're coming back and eating something at 5 o'clock, there's no way you're hungry for this meal, and therefore you're eating it only for one reason, because that's what God wants you to do. So that makes it three meals. The first two meals, God's not yet sure if you're getting credit for those. So now when you eat the third meal, when you may not want that so much, that's when you get full credit for all three meals, and it retroactively shows that you've eaten all three meals properly. So that's why one should take care to do that. We will continue. There's much more to talk about.